lot. My name is Mary Thayer. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm coming to you actually Max for the but which is better than this, September 13th, 1973. So actually have a little over 52 years doing the drill, just doing the drill. And with that time, I want to say right away, the gift of this program is I'm still a seasoned beginner. This is a profound place. It's not just about stopping drinking, but I thought that's what it was. But I was raised in this program in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm entirely blessed to have brought that long I have. Where I want to go, this is such a newcomers meeting. I just want to say that I was laughing how it said international. Is my video off? Oh my God. Not even talking to you people. There I am. Sorry. I guess I want to say that I was raised in New England. And when my drinking caught up with me, as it will, if you're an alcoholic, it's progressive. And my reputation caught up with me. I did what any good alcoholic would do, and that was to take a geographical cure. And I knew someone out in Los Angeles area in Southern California. And at that time, I had been married, had a child, and was divorced. And drinking, I was a daily drinker and a periodic drunk. And in 1973, alcoholism and AA was not something that was really thrown around. And so I got up and got out of that small New England town, and I ended up in North Hollywood, California, and drank 5 more years. And then having this child, I would come out of it was so progressive. I didn't even understand. I didn't even know what alcoholism was. It just really was not something in those days that was being talked about. But I had a couple of coincidences, and in New England they call them God incidences, that happened in my life during that 5 years out there. And one of them was that I would progress to the point where I was having blackouts. I just thought that was normal. I thought everybody had them. And I would be yelling at the thing I love most in this world, which was that little girl. And I thought, well, I'll solve this. 18 different ways here on page 31 on how we can drink like others. And so I decided I'd drink in bars, and I would get a babysitter in the apartment across from me. The woman had a teenage girl that I would ask if she would watch my daughter for an hour or so, and I'd be home. And of course, once you start to drink, no matter how much you want to go home, if that obsession gets you, it's kind of hard to do. And so I started calling the babysitter and say, would you watch her 1 more hour? And finally, after the third or fourth call, she'd say, why don't you just leave her overnight? And so I did. And this went on for a while. I never knew until I was 12 stepped into these halls how long that was. But one morning when I went to pick up my daughter, the mother of the babysitter came to the door and said, we know your daughter very well, but we don't know you very well. And why don't you come in and have a cup of coffee? And I thought, well, that's proper. I was raised Boston proper, and there was just a whole bunch of stuff that is connected with that, and anyway, I thought, well, it would be proper to find out who's babysitting my daughter, I bet. And I went in, and this woman told me she was raised in Massachusetts, and she had gone to MIT, which is very proper to go to MIT. And she was an engineer over in some place called Lockheed that was close by, which is a big firm out in Southern California. And I was thinking, this is really good. And then she said, and I'm an alcoholic. And I didn't know what to say. I said, you are? And she said, yes. And then she told me her story. Now I'm sitting there not knowing what alcoholism is, By then, my alcoholism had progressed to the fact that I would come to trying to get whatever was trying to get me. Nothing was there, but I didn't know it was the DTs. My doctor had given me a lovely little pill in those days. Didn't even have to have a prescription, just about. It was open, anyways, for Valium, which was a wonderful little pill that you could take when you came to. So I was around the clock crazy and had no idea what was happening to me. And so when she said and told me her story, because of my own denial, not understanding it, I said to her with all honesty, I said, "Oh my God, I know a lot of people who could use that program," never thinking it was me. And of course, then she said to me, she said, "Well, we have things called open meetings," which apparently you people are. Now, I didn't know what that meant. That we have our own lingo in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I said, "You do?" And she said, "Yes, there's one tonight. Why don't you get ready and we'll bring you to it?" I tried to tell her I might not have a babysitter, but that didn't last very long since all she did is babysit my child, or her daughter did. And so I said, "All right." And so I remember saying, I was still working, I don't know how, but I was. And I said to my bosses, "I'm going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting tonight." And they said, "Oh, nice." They, I don't, crap. When I look back at some of the stupidity what I did. Anyhow, so I got there, and then this is kind of a funny story, but once you get around this program, you're going to hear different speakers, okay? And in Southern California in 1973, as far as I'm concerned, the greats were alive still. They'd gotten sober from the beginning. There was one named Chuck Chamberlain that, if you read A New Pair of Glasses, it's Chuck C's book. Now, he was alive, and he'd be speaking all over the place. There was another man, a very famous from Southern California, named Clancy. And Clancy is known for the Pacific Group, and he had quite a big following. Well, it turned out that when I got to her house that night, she told me her sponsor had asked her to go to someplace else, but her husband would bring me to this meeting. So I went to this meeting. And in California, you have a thought about what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. And it's kind of grungy, do you know, to be honest with you? It's like they're all paper bags. So when I walked into this meeting, I thought it was kind of like a PTA meeting, where people go to find out about schools or something. Because in California, in Southern California, they got a lot of bling. There's a lot of, they all look nice. They look as though they just get, I don't know. It was like the proper place to go to hear about whatever alcoholism is about, never knowing that everybody in that room was an alcoholic. I had no idea. So I just thought, wow. And this David who brought me said, "This is Mary. It's her first meeting." And he introduced me to all these people and he kept throwing all this literature at me. And one of the things that they gave me, I don't see it around now, is the 20 questions. And you had 20 questions to answer, yes or no, and had about your drinking. So I was starting to look at it, and this woman said, "Oh, don't answer them now. Sometime when you're all alone, answer them one at a time." And I thanked her and sat down, and the meeting started. And in California, if you have, I loved watching you all say your name and how many days, that love of being given to you and being recognized is amazing. It really is. It's just amazing. And this is kind of the way the meeting was. And if you had an anniversary, they would sing happy birthday and they'd sing it out of tune. I thought it was very entertaining. I thought, well, this is lovely. And then they had the woman who came to speak for the, they had a speaker meeting and she spoke. And it just happened to be, now, I didn't know this. No wonder there was over 200 people at that meeting because it was Sybil. And Sybil had like five last names. She was she liked to get married, she said. She was very funny. And turned out Sybil is the first woman that got sober west of the Mississippi and is very influential about our tradition three. And as you stay in the program, the traditions, I didn't even know what they were. What is this? I'm just trying to hold on to my bottom with both my hands and shake out whatever I was going through. And so, she was an amazing woman, and I'm so grateful. She was the first person I heard speak. And when she finished speaking, she had many things that she said, but there was one line she said, and that's pretty much what I would say. I had no idea where I was. I didn't even realize it was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I thought it was just an infomercial or something. And here this person was telling her story, and there would be times I'd be hysterical. I mean, just laughing. And I remember the one line that got me was that she had a brother that was in the program by the name of Text. And apparently Tex said to her, "How you doing, Sybil? How you doing?" And she said, "I'm fine, just fine." And then she turned and she said, "But I was dying inside." And God, that hit me. I was young, obviously, 52 years ago. I was young. I had a persona, a false face, a false mask, if you will, that everything is just great with me. And if you really looked in, I had a hole in my gut and the wind was blowing through, and I didn't know where to go, and I didn't know how the proper thing to do to deal with whatever was happening with me. Now, again, this was 1973. They didn't have the rehabs they have nowadays for people. So we used to say we sobered up on the bricks, and that's pretty much what I did. I don't ex I think I should have been thrown into one of these things for probably 150 days, but it was like they just weren't available in those times. So we did a lot of 12-stepping, and I think I that kind of want to get into that. When that meeting was over, David asked me a couple of things. First of all, he brought me up and introduced me to Sybil, and she said something that a lot of people probably don't agree with, but this is my story. She by then when it ended and everybody was clapping, David said something to me. He said, "How do you feel?" And I said, "I could cry." And he said, "Go ahead." And something happened. Here I am sobbing with 200 people all around. This is not what New England does. Stiff upper lip. Never tell anybody what you're feeling. And I'm crying away. And he walks me up to Sybil and he says, "Sybil, I want you to meet Mary. It's her first meeting." And she turned around and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Welcome home, honey." Now, everybody thinks that's corny, but if I was had a longer time, I'd tell you the homes I did not I came from, but nobody wanted me around, sent away to school, done that, what, beaten up my first marriage. Home is not welcoming, so to speak. And this woman said, "Welcome home, honey." Hindsight, I realized two things happened to me that night. When David turned and said, "How do you feel?" And nobody ever said to me, "How do you feel?" They said, "What do you think?" Whew. Once the alcohol's removed, the main problem center's right here. You can't fix the problem with the problem. But feel? And feelings weren't allowed in New England. Give you something to cry about. And it was like, so that was the first time anybody had ever given me permission to have a feeling and said, "Go ahead and have it." So that was very, I didn't know that at that night. This is hindsight. And when Sybil looked me in the eye and she said, "Welcome home, honey," what she did that I didn't realize was that every single one of us have created a false persona to survive. All right? I don't care who you are, And as you get into this program and you realize this is a spiritual, but look at the love that was given to everybody just now. When that spirit starts to come, and the closer, what does it say on the end of page to the agnostics? As you grow closer to God, he reveals himself to you. Now, I didn't even know what God meant. I mean, I didn't come from religious stuff, so I didn't have to get rid of a religion, which I'm grateful for. But there was a couple of things that happened to me that I think I want to just go into. I don't know how long I have, but I want to kind of bring this because this is a newcomers meeting. I didn't know what I was in. I didn't have a rehab to go to. Rehabs give you a lot of information about alcoholism. We get you after you get out of rehabs nowadays. So you have a lot of intellect about what this illness is about. In 1973, they didn't do that. They thought,
5 minutes, Mary.
what did she say? 5 minutes?
5 minutes,
Okay.
yes.
All right. You don't get a lot of intellectual stuff about it. I mean, David told me it's a progressive disease. It's kind of like getting on a bus and you can take it all the way to Skid Row, or you can get off here in North Hollywood. If you're alcoholic, it's progressive. So it's not like you can shut it off and never have any progression. In fact, you can be sober for a long time and then all of a sudden go back, and very little alcohol will put you back to where you were if you're alcoholic. And so, that's about the education I have. I didn't know what was happening. So when Rosemary, the next morning after I got there, they said, come have coffee. And she said, this is what you're going to do. They weren't kind in those days. Told me exactly what I was doing, how many meetings I was going to go to. And she was sponsored by this man named Clancy. She gave me two things that I still use. I knew I didn't, she kept saying I had to get a sponsor or I'd get drunk because I was going back to New England in about a month. And I didn't know what sponsor meant. She said, but she told me, had to have a sponsor that was into something called a big book and a 12 and 12, and they had at least 4 or 5 years of sobriety or something, which isn't a bad thing. I've never found where it had said that you had to do that. She told me how many meetings I had to go to. She asked me if I was on any drugs. I told her I don't do drugs. She said, no Valium or the, well, I obviously, I was on Valium every day. Should have been detoxed immediately, but I stopped. But I didn't like her. And she said I had to get somebody to sponsor me. For every one of us nuts, there's a wrench, okay? So look around, okay? Look around. Find the one that you have some faith in and isn't going to kill you with it. As a result, I went to her meetings with Clancy being her sponsor. Now that's a man. So she demonstrated you could ask men. The first man I asked to sponsor me, I didn't know what I was doing, was really great. Giving me his big copy of the big book. I bought it from him. Got away from the Pacific group. It was too much for me. I needed a smaller group. But I got the best. And this man, Hugh Douglas, he gave me the book. I really liked him. He was very kind. And I asked him to sponsor me the next week. And it was a book study. And he said, my wife doesn't cotton to me sponsoring women anymore, but she's that redhead over there and she's got a kind of a Mickey Mouse program. Perhaps she'll help you out. And that's a woman. And that man saved this kid's life because they loved me and they taught me the black lines of this book. And this book is such a, it's unbelievable what this book does, and it changes every year. That's why I'm a seasoned beginner. And when they say you have 12 steps, I thought I was going to graduate, but the things that I was worried about and my where my life was unmanageable 52 years ago is not where it is today at 82. You know, I've whoever thought you could live that long, for God's sakes, let alone, you know, just live with daily things that aren't the same as they were 30 years ago. I was a circuit speaker since I was like 18 years in this program. 2 years ago, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I took myself off that thing. Now, that was such a gift. And I just want to close with this one thing. You people have an international newcomers meeting in 1980. I went to the 45th International AA meeting in New Orleans. And I had the opportunity of hearing Marty Mann and Lois were there. It was a profound thing. I met two people because we didn't have cell phones. We talked to each other. It's 26,000 people from all over the world. There was two guys. One was Scottish and one was from Ireland. And my mother's maiden name was McNamara. So I was talking to them on the street. And it was just, it was amazing. It was just amazing. And when all of the flags, just amazing. And now here it is, right here. I mean, all over the, you know, it's amazing what's happened. So I enjoyed them very much. I went to the international one. It was held in Atlantic, Georgia, and I'm in the food corp. And I hear an accent, and I turn around and I say, "You two, were you in New Orleans?" And they went, "Yeah." And 10 years later, here I am talking to them. Happened again. I moved to Florida, and I was talking at a Dr. Bob's thing, and I heard these two guys speaking, and lo and behold, there they are. One's from Scotland, the other one lives not far from me in Florida. And since then, I've been able to see the guy in Florida several times. You do not know. As Mother Teresa says, you draw your family circle too small. You people are my family, more so than my blood family. And I want to thank you for asking me to share.